And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those and to whom his favor rests." Amen. 261.
Peace, the peacemaker of Christmas. You know, we hear a lot about peace and about being a peacemaker. Matter of fact, Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Now, we got to kind of think about, so how do we become peacemakers? We realize we can't make anybody do anything, but we can kind of help to speak peace into people's lives. There is a comic book character that they're so different from when I used to read comic books. You know, it was Superman and Batman, and they were the good guys, and they would never kill anybody. Well, there is this new character that DC Comics has put out. I guess it was in a movie a year ago, and they're making a TV series of it. And he's called the Peacemaker. And the way that he brings about peace is, oh, if you're interfering with peace, you're gone. You know, he doesn't care who he kills. And I was thinking of the premise of that. And he's going to have a busy few days, and then there's not going to be anything left but him. And then I wonder, would there be peace? You know, and I thought, wow, that's the peacemaker. But to make matters worse, they call him the peacemaker. Somebody came out with a Christmas card and it has his picture on it. And the producer of the film said, "Nothing speaks more of the meaning of Christmas than a vigilante murderer who kills everybody who gets in the way of peace." Just being sarcastic about it. You know, that's not what Jesus meant when he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Jesus wants us to be peacemakers. And I want us to see what that means. But first, I want us to get a little background here. Because, you know, we look at the last of the verse that was read, where peace toward all men. Jesus came to give peace toward all men. All men won't have peace. So let's look at some background here. And what I want us to see first is an idea of God's economy of things. You know, the angel appeared to shepherds. Now, we've talked a little bit about shepherds in the last few weeks in the Gospel of John. But there's something that is really interesting about shepherds. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," which probably was a reference that there are some bad shepherds. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And the reality is there weren't that many shepherds who would lay down their life for the sheep. Matter of fact, shepherds were, it was kind of a lowly job. It was a job that the religious leaders, they would look at a shepherd and say, "This person's unclean." I mean, they can't get to the temple for whatever cleansing they need. And then also they're working with all these stinky, smelly animals, and they smell. And many of them were liars, and, you know, which is ironic. Because if you have a bunch of sheep and you need to hire a shepherd, there's the irony of it. But the angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds. He didn't appear to those who were of status. Now, we think of the other things. Jesus said things like, "The rich will be poor. The poor will be rich. The first will be last, and the last will be first." And even Jesus himself, when he came to this earth, he was not born among royalty, but basically born among poverty. The Jews weren't looking for him there. And so when we look at how God does things, he comes and he brings a message to the shepherds. Now, almost every time we read of an angel appearing just out of thin air, there's, "Do not be afraid." And I wonder if any of them thought, "Oh, okay, I'm not afraid anymore. Just because, do not be afraid. Oh, I'm glad you told me that." I have a feeling it takes a little while for the nerves to calm down when an angel pops right in front of you. You know, or somebody, you know, we do this. "Oh, you shouldn't feel that way." "Oh, okay, I feel better now." You know, you're having a problem and something going on, and you're just hurting, and somebody says, "Oh, you should feel that way." "Well, I feel better now." No? And so, "Do not be afraid." It might have taken them a moment for things to settle where they realize, "Oh, this is good." And it was good. It was good news that God was sending to them. They were greatly afraid. He said, "For behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, when I think about Christ, and as I said, this kind of way that he did things that just didn't seem normal. He was called a friend of sinners. You know, the Pharisees, religious leaders, people who wanted to be in judgment would look at who he was talking to, who he was eating with, and they would say, oh, look, he is going to eat with a tax collector. Well, that's kind of rubbing your elbows with somebody that you really don't want to have them know you personally, you know. I knew a lady one time that worked for the IRS, and she went to another church, but I had met her through some friends. So I was downtown at the convention center. I don't even remember what I was doing there, but I was walking through looking at booths, and there was a booth that said Internal Revenue Service, and I thought, I really don't even want to look that way. And so I'm turning this way, and all of a sudden I hear a voice from the Internal Revenue Service say, hey, Dennis! And I thought, oh no, now they know me by my first name. You know, oh, so I was more at peace when I realized who it was. Jesus was the friend of sinners. And what that tells us is that he loves us. You know, if he only went to those who were of royalty and status, then we might get the idea that we could never achieve. And it's really not about us achieving, but about us receiving him and his message. So as we think more about peace, let me give you three things about peace to take away this morning. First of all, peace isn't the absence of problems. You know, you can take away problems and people still may not have peace. There are people who have taken their lives who they've got wealth, they've got health, but they don't have peace. By the same token, there are people who don't have health. I deal with them a lot. And I find that there are people who know that they're going to die soon, but they have peace. So the absence of problems doesn't guarantee peace. Now, I probably told you this story last year, and I'll probably tell it to you next year and every year, because we're always talking about peace. And maybe you remember it. Next year, you'll probably remember it, because I never remember where I told it. So I just know it's a good story about peace. There was an art contest. There were about 10 contestants, and their assignment was to paint a picture depicting peace. Well, the first artist, he had painted a picture of a beautiful ocean. And we would say, that's peaceful. I mean, we go to the beach and we look at the ocean and say, oh, isn't it wonderful? It's peaceful. You kind of forget about all the problems. It's peaceful. There was another one who had a beautiful setting of the mountains and, you know, also entitled his peace. There were several others doing what you would have thought similar to those, trying to depict a picture of peace. But one that got the judge's attention was there was a picture of a storm. And you could see the rain that was beating down. And you could see the wind blowing as there was a tree that was bending. So you get this picture of all this chaos that's going on. And the judges say, how does this illustrate peace? The artist said, well, up here in this tree, you see a bird nest. And there's these little birdies there. And there's the mama bird sitting on top, protecting her babies. Peace is not the absence of the storm, but peace is what you have in the midst of the storm. And he won the prize. Because that's true. Even when things don't go the way that we want, we can still have peace. Because peace is not simply the absence of problems. Secondly, peace is internal more than it is external. You know, we get this idea that, oh, we just want peace in our country. Well, and we do. But here's the reality. We want peace in the world. The reality is there will never be peace in the world. Never be peace in the externals of the world. I mean, there's always going to be wars, always going to be rumors of war. There's always going to be people who are mistreated. There's just always going to be bad things in the world. But peace is internal. Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace I give you, but not as what the world gives. See? People think peace is what I get by getting this and getting this and getting this. Jesus says, I give you peace. And I know this is true. Sometimes I have to go on a fast. And the fast that I go on is I quit listening to talk radio and I quit listening and reading the news. And I just have to go off of it for a while. You know, it just gets to me. And it robs me of something that I should have internally. And that's peace. Because my peace is not in who is president. My peace is not in what the government can do for me. My peace is in Jesus Christ and him being in my life. And me remembering the place that he gets and the focus that he gets. That doesn't mean we don't care about what's going on in the world. Sometimes we can just get so sucked into it, though, that we forget about the Prince of Peace, the one who came to give us peace. Thirdly, I think peace is a byproduct of our faith. God's peace and praise seem to go together. You know, if you go back to that verse that says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I don't think this was necessarily mentioned as you praise God and then you will have peace. I don't think that was mentioned in this context, but it's true. If we spend more time focused on praising God, we'll find peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Let's celebrate peace. Peace not as we find in the world or as we want to find in the world, but peace we find in Jesus. Pray with me before we sing our invitation. Lord, we thank you that you are the giver of peace. We thank you that in the midst of trials, in the midst of struggles, we can still have peace. We pray that you would help us to be peacemakers, peace givers, those who would speak words of peace, those who would try to be encouragers to others, that they may find the true meaning of peace in the giver of peace, which is you. For truly, Lord, you are the peacemaker that we celebrate. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Let's sing our hymn of invitation. Good to see you all with us today, and peace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the giver of peace. We rejoice in that. So if there are burdens on the hearts of any of us today, we just ask you to give us that peace in our hearts, knowing that you are with us. It may be difficult times in people's lives, but we still can trust in you to give peace. So as we celebrate this season of remembering the birth of our Lord, let us remember not so much about the presence that we give, but the gift that you gave. And today we celebrate the gift of peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 31.